to be able to get through this and get through communion, I'm going to, God's just changed it up. And we're going to start the fast tomorrow. It's interesting. I had somebody text me a couple of days ago, and they were getting ready to celebrate their anniversary today. And they had planned a trip out of town, had all the reservations paid and everything, and then the husband was getting sick. And I said, that's interesting, because I woke up yesterday morning and I'm sick, got pneumonia. So something I've never had before. I don't mind flying, but I tell you, when you get on an airplane and everybody on there, it's full and they're hacking and coughing and sneezing, it's like the odds are against you. But anyway, we push through. And when we get ready to go into a fast, all hell breaks loose. And when we go through a fast, all hell breaks loose. And you'll experience this if you engage and you plug in with this time of fasting and prayer over the next 21 days, beginning tomorrow, you're going to experience some of that. But don't let it rock your boat. You just adjust. You trust God. You depend on, as I prayed earlier, His strength through our weakness. If there's a train wreck somewhere, He knew it was going to happen before it happened. Amen. Philippians, if you will, turn to the book of Philippians, chapter 3, beginning in verse 12. So if you're here next week, and I hope you are, your bulletin will probably look the same on the outside and in your notes. But I want to encourage you to take notes. Philippians 3:12. It's a new year, and we're kicking off a new year. And I believe it's going to be a good year, in spite of what we're experiencing right now. Philippians 3:12 says, Paul is writing, and he says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Paul's saying, look, I haven't arrived. And you know what? When we're on this earth, we won't arrive. We won't arrive spiritually or physically or in any way, shape, or form. We'll arrive for believers when we get to heaven and we're with Jesus. We will know we have arrived. Paul's saying, I haven't, not that I've already attained, in other words, attained the goal, or already perfected, I've already got it all down. Paul, Paul wrote most of the New Testament. And I like to say, as you read about Paul, everywhere he went, he started a fight, it seemed like. But the reason was he was preaching the word. And he was giving out truth. And people don't like truth, even in the church. Because he was preaching in churches a lot of times. It wasn't just the Sadducees or the Pharisees or unbelievers that gave him a hard time. It was religious people that gave him a hard time. But he says, I'm not perfect. I haven't arrived. But then he says, I press on. I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ has also laid hold of me. Now, we all know, if you read in Acts about his conversion on the Damascus Road when Christ appeared to him and blinded him, and then he was sent on in, and Ananias prayed over him and opened the scales fell from his eyes. And he was filled with the Holy Spirit. But he says, even in spite of all his travels, all his preaching, all his establishing churches, he says, I haven't arrived, but I'm pressing on. I'm pressing on. And he says, because Christ has laid hold of me, I'm laying hold as I press on. I have that goal in mind, the goal of Christ Jesus in heaven, heavenward. He says in verse 13, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. He says, I haven't attained everything. I haven't done everything probably that needs to be done. I'm not special. I'm not perfect. He says, I've not apprehended. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. This is important here. We just started a new year. I wonder how many people here this morning are still living in your past. Not just 2019, but maybe 2018 or 10 or 2000. There's something still holding on to you that's got a grip on you, or that you still, it still controls you or dogs you, nags you, puts guilt on you. Paul said, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call. He says, I haven't apprehended, but this is what I do. One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. That's a message for us today. That's a message for us in this new year. You know, I don't know what you've experienced in the last year. I know a lot of people have had some horrible experiences. And you're sitting here today. But I know this. We don't, when Paul says, forgetting what is behind, he's saying, don't live in that. Don't let that define you. Don't let that be the control of your life. Now, we want to learn from our past, especially our mistakes, right? Because if we keep making the same bad decisions over and over again, nothing changes, right? You know what the saying is, if nothing changes, nothing changes, right? Well, that's not what Paul is saying. He's saying, forgetting what's behind, forgetting, letting go. That's what that word means here in context with Paul. Letting go of the past, letting go of what's behind. I can't change it. Can you change yesterday? Can you? Can you go back and relive it? Can you go back and relive last month, last year? We can't. We can't. But so many Christians, especially, try to do that. They're living in the past. And Paul says, letting go. Letting go of the past. Letting go of what's behind. It's behind you. Your mistake is behind you. Your bad choices are behind you. The things that have happened to you that was maybe out of your control are behind you. Don't live and dwell in that. He says this. Reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Do you know God has things for you that are ahead? Amen. That we haven't even seen? He has things for this church ahead that we haven't even seen. He's going to stretch us. He's going to stretch our vision, our goals, our imaginations, our dreams. He's going to stretch all that. Because he just doesn't leave us the way we are. He doesn't, when we come to Christ and your life has changed and your heart's changed, you don't just stay there. That's the problem in the church. Too many believers do. They just stay there, a spiritual babe. But God has so much more, but we have to reach for it. We have to reach for it. How do you do that, Pastor? One thing, you get in the Word. You get in the Word. Another thing, you pray. Pray and fast. You see, fasting disciplines our body. Instead of our body controlling us, our appetite controlling us, and dictating, we depend on God in a spiritual position to take control over our life, our body, through Him. And that's what fasting and prayer is about. And we'll talk more about that next week. He says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The upward call. You know, everyone, the Bible says that God desires that no one perish, that all would be saved. Now, we know that's not a reality. Could be, but it's not. In fact, he says, wide is the road, the gate that leads to destruction and eternal death, but narrow is the way that leads to life, eternal life. And so that tells us right there that everybody's not, but it's a choice. Everybody has a choice. Everyone can be saved that wants to believe and trust God. Isaiah 43, eight 18. Isaiah 43:18. Here's what the prophet wrote. Do not remember the former things, the past, nor consider the things of old, the past. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Some of you right now today are in a wilderness. You're in a desert. You're in a place where you feel like life has just spun out of control, maybe, and just stopped. God wants to do a new thing. This is God's words through the prophet Isaiah. He wants to do a new thing. In other words, there's more he wants to do in your life. I don't care if you've been a Christian for 30 or 40 years. There's still more God has for you. There's more. There's much more. And that's what he's saying here. I want to do a new thing. He wants to do, and what he means there, he wants to do something new in your spiritual life. I'm not talking about a new house, a new car, a new job, or whatever. Those things may come, may be part of it. But what Isaiah is saying is, I want to do something new in your life as God. God wants to do something new in your life spiritually. He wants to take you to another level with him. He wants to draw you closer to him. And that's what he's saying here. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to take, if you have this, and if you don't, you can just do it mentally in your head, but just take this, because you're going to get another one next week. And on the front side, I want you to write a caption there. This is what I'm letting go of from 2019. This is what I'm letting go of from 2019. Make that a caption. This is what I'm letting go of from 2019. Now I want you to think about that. I want you to ask the Holy Spirit to reveal to you what you need to let go. What you need to let go of. What you need to stop letting control you. Maybe it's insecurity. Maybe it's sin, some sort of sin that you've been bound by. Maybe it's an unhealthy relationship. Maybe it's a lack of faith, a lack of effort that you just haven't been seeking God over the last year. What is it that you need to let go of? Maybe it's bitterness. Maybe it's unforgiveness, resentment. You see, those are things that Paul talks about, letting go of what's behind. You can't change them. And when you hang on to that and you live in that, it damages you, not anyone else. When you don't forgive someone, it doesn't hurt that person, it hurts you. That unforgiveness is like a cancer in your spirit. So write down, this is what I'm letting go of. This is what I'm allowing God to set me free from. And just write that down. I just throw some things out there because I don't want to give you the answers. I want the answer to come from God. I want the answer to come. Your answer is different than this person's or that person's. But God knows what your answer is. God knows what you need to put behind and let go of. And then on the other side of that, I want you to write this down. This is the goal I'm pressing toward in 2020. This is the goal I'm pressing toward in 2020. So what is that goal? Some of you sitting here today, I venture to say, and I'm not judging, I just know what reality is. There's people sitting here today who don't really know Christ, who have never really let go. What they haven't let go of is self. Still trying to live life your way. for your purpose. And you've never really accepted Christ. So maybe that's your goal, to come into a real personal relationship with Christ. Maybe that needs to be your goal for 2019, or your first goal. Maybe it's to draw closer as a Christian, to spend more time in prayer, spend more time in the Word. That's my goal. That's one of my goals for 2020, more time in the Word. Yeah, I spend a lot of time studying, preparing for a message at times, except for this morning. But, you know, that's not spending time in the Word. My study time doesn't count. Spending time in the Word is just me and God reading and allowing the Holy Spirit to speak and reveal truth to me, reveal something about my life to me. So maybe that needs to be your goal. Maybe it needs to step up and serve somewhere. You know, stop making it about you. Maybe it's to forgive someone. See, that works both ways. You let go of that unforgiveness. But in order to do that, you have to go and forgive someone. What's your goal for 2020? Paul said, forgetting what's behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. He says, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy I think it's 2. Second Timothy 4:7. Paul's getting ready to, he knows his time on earth is imminent. And he says this, I'm already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. He knew his time was short. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. There it is. Bingo. I have kept the faith. You know, that's what he meant when he said pressing on toward that goal of the whole. Keeping the faith. Keeping the faith. Not having a faith as the Pharisees and the Sadducees of just religion. Come to church, sing some songs, listen to a message, and go back about your business and go on with life with no effect. That's not pressing. That's not pressing in. That's not pressing toward the goal. The goal is to get as close to Jesus as you can get, to know him as much as you can, to serve him as much as you can, not earning in the sense of earning your way to heaven. You can't do that. But in the sense of serving him out of your love and your passion for him and your passion for others. You see, there's a lot of people going to hell right now today if Christ came. If things wound up today, a lot of people, it's over. And some of you know, or probably all of you know someone that's in that boat. Do you care enough about them? Do you care enough about what Christ has done for you to pray and fast for them over the next 21 days that they would come to Christ? So that's one of the biggest things we could do in this 21 days of fasting is pray for unsaved family and believers, or unbelievers. Unsaved family and friends, co-workers, students, your other students at school or college, friends you know. Pray. You see, we have to press on, but we have to let go. We have to let go of the past and let the past quit dictating the future. It may be in your marriage relationship. Maybe the past has been ugly. Maybe it's not working or hasn't been working. Well, let go of that and seek God and say, God, restore. Show me my part in restoration in my marriage, in a broken relationship. If it's not an unhealthy relationship, you see, those things, and I'm not abdicating divorce. I'm not talking about marriage. I'm talking about we have a lot of relationships outside of marriage that are toxic. At work, at school, all kinds of places. With siblings. Am I right? So, ask God, show me my part in restoration in 2020. Amen? Let's pray. So if you're here today and your goal needs to be giving your life to Christ, to accepting His forgiveness and allowing Him to save you, maybe that's, you can do that right now on January 5th. Right now, you can do that. The Bible says that God's Spirit will affirm with your spirit that you're a child of God. In other words, you can know that you're saved, which means you know if you're not saved. And so, if you're not today, it's not shameful. God wants you to come to Him. So why don't you come to Him today? If you're not sure you're saved today, if you're not sure you're going to heaven, would you just slip your hand up and so I can pray for you? Just slip your hand up. I want to know that I have a relationship with Christ. I want to receive His forgiveness into my life. For believers, are you prepared to let go of the past? Are you prepared to stop hanging on to something that you can't change from yesterday, from last month, last year, or years ago? God wants to do a new thing in you. And that new thing He wants to do is in your spirit, so that you can allow Him to manifest Himself in your life and overcome and restore what the enemy has stolen. But you have to come to Him as a believer. You have to let go of the past. So is there someone here as believers in the church that you slip your hand up and say, "Pastor, I'm letting go of something"? I see a couple hands. I think everybody, most people would have it. Thank you for being honest. Thank you for being transparent. God's going to bless you. God's going to honor that. If you're serious and you seek Him, He'll restore what the enemy has sought to steal. May not be today or tomorrow, but His promises are real and true. God, I thank You today for Your word that's powerful and strong. Your word that gives life and breath, meaning and hope. I thank You, Lord, that our past doesn't matter when we turn to You. Our past is behind, and what's ahead with You is what You desire in our life and what You want in our life. You want to bring healing. You want to bring restoration. You want to bring hope. You want to bring faith. And so, God, we know that when we keep hanging on to the past, we can't receive those things from You, because they're a wall, they're a block, they're a hindrance. So God, help us to let go of the past. Let go of what's behind, and help us, God, as a church, as individuals, to reach and press forward for what You have ahead for us in all areas of our life. God, we thank You and praise You in the strong and powerful name of Jesus. Amen. I know the offering's been taken up, and that's okay. But if you want to share something with us on a connection point, maybe what you're letting go of or what you're pressing toward in 2020, write it on that card and just drop it in one of the boxes near one of the exits, so we can pray with you over these next 21 days for those things. We're going to celebrate communion today. So I'm going to ask those men who are assisting with communion to come forward, if you would, please, and begin to prepare the elements. Communion, the Lord's Supper, it's known by many things, but it's what Jesus did with His disciples on the night before He was crucified. And I'm just going to share this as Paul wrote it. "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup, and after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." We proclaim that he was crucified, dead, and buried, and was raised from the dead, raised from the grave, and gave us victory over sin and death. Not physical death, eternal spiritual death, because of what he did. And that's what this celebrates. It's a celebration for believers. Paul goes on to say, "Whoever eats of this bread or drinks of this cup in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." He's simply saying this: don't come to the table with unconfessed sin, with something that you know is between you and God that's not right in your life, and you haven't confessed it to him and repented from it. So let's just take a minute and allow the Holy Spirit to examine our hearts real briefly. Father, speak to our hearts now. If there's anything in our life that needs confessing to you and repenting of, reveal that right now, God, so that we can come to the table and celebrate what Jesus has done and what you did for us through him. Amen. Amen. If you've never been with us before to celebrate communion, this is how we do it. You break a piece of the bread off, so you're only touching what you're taking. You touch the bread into the juice, and then you take it. So it's sanitary. You're not going to get anybody's germs because you're only touching what you're taking. And so I'm going to ask, when we start this section, to go out to your left and come back down here, this section to go out to your right and come by this way, this section to go to your right and come this way and back down this aisle. Just come back down to your seats, okay? This means something. It's a great way to kick off our fasting and prayer. And so, as you come today, when you take that bread, it represents his body, and you touch it into that juice, it represents his blood. Maybe you need to say, "Lord, I'm forgetting what's past, and I'm pressing forward. Help me to do that." Make that your prayer today. Let's celebrate Jesus. Amen. You know, I'm looking forward to 2020 for Heartcry. I know we've got challenges ahead, and God's got some things in store for us that we don't know about. We may not even understand. But if we trust him, he's faithful. He never has failed us, and he won't fail us this year. Amen. Life groups kick off again this week, Wednesday. Kids Life on Wednesday. It's a great time for kids over there on Wednesday. We do need some workers, some servants on Wednesday night to help love those kids and teach them the word as we do, because that ministry's been growing on Wednesday nights as well as on Sunday mornings. And so pray about that. Also, there are booklets at the information desk. Fasting and prayer booklets. I know I didn't talk about that today, but everything is in there to give you what you need to get started. Some scriptures, some things to pray, all those kind of things. So if take it if you're going to participate with us in that in any way you can. And I'll talk more about fasting and prayer next week. But the booklets are there, so you can take them with you today, so you can get started tomorrow. And let's pull together and let's see God do some miraculous things in this church this year. And again, you know, God, change comes when we least expect it. And so, you know, but God is good and God is faithful, as we just sang. So there's information in the bulletin about contribution statements, those kind of things. So check it out. And I just want to say, we came back from Texas New Year's night. Like I said, on that airplane, I think I got this, but we brought our oldest grandson back with us, so I got to spend a couple of good days with him before we got sick. And he'll be here with my wife second service. But I just want to honor my wife today, even though she's not here. And God has been faithful to us. And tomorrow she will have put up with me for 47 years. And so I just want to honor her. And I can tell you it hasn't been easy for either one of us in those 47 years, but God is faithful. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week. Let's kick off 2020 wide open, pressing forward.